This episode of Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by Molar Dental Club. You know, you see the BBOTT players get care packages every single week. Well, how about you getting a dental care package? Because Molar is an oral healthcare subscription company, and they ship new stuff to you every 2 to 3 months, depending on what customer's preference is, to help avoid trips to go see Johnny Mac or your dentist, because they've got toothbrushes infused with charcoal, which are softer than traditional toothbrushes, helping you get better teeth and gums. They've got toothpaste imported from Italy, coming in all different flavors. They've got two varieties of floss and even replacement heads for Sonicare toothbrushes for a fraction of what you pay for them in the store, because it's all about simplicity. Just one less thing that you have to worry about going to the store and getting all of your dental hygiene needs. So go to molar.co, use the promo code RHAP and get 35% off your first subscription offer. That's molar.co and use the promo code RHAP and get 35% off your first subscription order. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the man who always preferred to be served up safety because I never leave the house. I'm Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our BBOTT recap. And that is a bold-faced lie because I am leaving the house this week because I'm headed to New York to do our live BBOTT podcast coming up at the Broadway Comedy Club in just a matter of days, and with two of the guys that are going to be on that show. First, let me welcome him back to the podcast, the great Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. Yeah, I got to see Paul on the feeds again. I'm wearing my Paul shirt, came in the mail. We're going to New York and meeting up soon. Just full on friendship right now.
Full on friendship. Saw a good Alex Kidwell meme courtesy of Paul Borges on Twitter recently.
Yeah. The other Paul.
Yes, the other Paul.
One of many. This is very Paul filled year.
Yes.
For reality
Paul,
TV.
It was the year of Paul in 2016 between Paul Borges, Paul Friendship, Paul Wachter, Paulie Calafiore. Yeah.
Of course, yeah. Your boy who needs the steak.
That's right. And of course, the man who's always offering up the friendship, never pissed, Taron Armstrong. Taron, how are you?
I'm great. I'm excited for the New York show. I've already put out the call for people to bring me biscuits at the live show. But if you bring me a pizza and sing, I'll take that as an alternative.
Okay, that's good. That's good. What is the Big Brother food item of choice in BBOTT? Is there anything besides cornbread?
It's got to be pizza. Did you see the lyric video that Big Brother released for Justin singing the pizza song?
No, I did not. Where is that? Where do I watch that?
I don't know. I think I saw it on linked to Instagram.
Okay. Somebody send me a link to the pizza song and we'll play that here today on the show so we can all be in on the Justin pizza song as we go through here on a BBOTT Friday night recap as we are digging into a week where Chrissy is your new HOH and a lot of stuff to break down. So hashtag RHAP. Got a hard confirm from Gina Marie. So maybe we'll be all having some chicken parm this Tuesday night. What a train wreck this show is going to be between the LFC, Jordan Parhar, Eric Stein, Glenn, Adam Pock, Gina Marie. Who else knows who's going to show up?
Oh, a perfect
all your favorites.
Perfect storm of mediocrity.
It'll be a night that you'll never forget. You'll try to, and you'll never forget. If you want to be there in person, tickets are still available. Go to robswebsite.com/BBOTT live. Very excited for that. It's going to be a Tuesday night kicking off around 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. All right. So let's start to dig in here. Of course, Taron, you were not on the Wednesday night show with Jordan Parhar. Did you have any reactions to Shane going home?
I was pretty happy about it, especially after his speech, which was pretty terrible.
He's so salty about the whole thing. Really came off like a douche.
Right? Like, it was really bad. Like the hypocrisy is just like, it's so big. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah,
like, unfathomable.
Yeah,
unfathomable.
It really was that he made it sound like that he is going to leave the house and he was going to spark a movement that was going to make sure the plastics all lost, the ball crushers, they were going to lose. Alex, am I reading too much into what Shane was saying?
No, I heard it that way too. It was ridiculous. I am the match that's going to bring down the forest. Like, shut up, dude. You're ridiculous.
It was literally what Austin did in Big Brother 17 when he was like, I'm going to poison the jury against Vanessa. Only he thinks that he can do it to all of America. Like,
yeah, he's made that from Austin look super reasonable.
So. Right. Right.
Well played.
Why does he think he has this type of agency with America, considering that America put his girlfriend up on the block? So why does he feel like he has the relationship with the voting public to say, look, I know you voted my girlfriend up as the third nominee this week, but once I get out there and off this show, then you'll do my bidding, America.
I really don't think he's thought it through to that level.
No.
I think he just like he realized he was screwed. He's pissed about it. And he's like, I'm going to do something about it, even though there's nothing he can't do. Like, all he's thought about is that, like, I'm still in the game or something. Like,
yeah,
it's because he's a real person and Scott isn't there for the right reasons. Scott's not a real player. Shane is there for the right reasons. He was there to find a showmance, and that's the right reason to play the game. Scott being a super fan, playing the game of his dreams, like, he doesn't even deserve to be there.
I think it really speaks to how some people in this house have a complete inability, maybe on a level we've never seen, to separate game and personal life. Like, some people just see no difference this season.
Yeah.
Crazy.
You know, we've seen some crazy stuff in these ceremonies between Cornbread walking off saying F this and Shane being like a real baby in the eviction ceremony. Taryn, do you believe that because Julie isn't there, like, there's no adult in the room and we could see some pretty sloppy evictions going on this season?
Yeah, definitely. Especially like we saw Shane try to stop Scott from saying his speech when he broke the tie. Like, there's no way he tries that if Julie's there. Granted, we're talking about somebody who's already been compared to Austin, and Austin tried to not leave the house. So maybe we're not onto something.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the combination is, but just to go back to that Austin eviction, that wasn't live, correct? Am I right about that? Like, that was one of those taped evictions. So I wonder if there's some sort of, like, when there's not the live studio audience out there, there isn't that feeling of the world is watching right now and you could sort of get away with more stuff. Alex, do you think there's anything to this theory?
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty good call. When the eyes aren't on you, you feel a little bolder to be a douche. I mean, like, no. And he's like, well, I have to say something. No.
Come on, I'm just surprised Chrissy didn't run to the rule book to make sure that Scott did need to finish his speech.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure that's right. Yeah.
Another thing that came up this week, Taryn, I saw you were tweeting about they have announced a final three for BBOTT. How did this become news? Did Chrissy find it in the rule book?
Yeah, Chrissy found that, and she also found out who won Big Brother 18.
Yes.
So Chrissy with all the knowledge. No, Julie, in their chat with Julie, she announced that it was going to be a final three, and that's this season. I don't know why they didn't announce this earlier. There wasn't even much like fanfare about it. Maybe they changed their plans. Maybe they hadn't planned on this originally. I don't know.
So, Taryn, you are anti-Final Three here with America voting?
I mean, with America voting or really without America voting, I'm generally not a fan of Final Threes. I feel like the one thing that Big Brother has over Survivor in terms of like an epic feel is the Final Two. I really love the Final Two, and I don't like the Final Threes as much in Survivor. It's probably honestly less impactful in this version. They're probably just trying to make sure that the really popular person doesn't get cut at final three, essentially, because that's where they would likely get cut.
The only argument I've ever been able to make to defend the final three is that as Survivor decided to expand their casts, it's almost like a poker tournament where the bigger field yields a bigger payday, so to speak. But I can't make this case now because you've got three people in the finale out of 13, and I'm concurrently watching Survivor Australia where 24 people are playing for a final two. So it's just, I can't make this defense anymore. Sorry, you're on your own.
Yeah, I think we'll have to see once we get down there to see exactly what the America's vote is going to be. But I feel like if we had it as a final two, I do believe that we would sort of know going in terms of what that vote was going to be. It's like, I think it'd be pretty obvious, especially considering when we're able to track the polling and if it's like a popular person and a not popular person, if it's, you know, some sort of, I'm trying to think of the American Idol. If it's Ruben versus Clay, maybe we're like, it's 50, you know, 51, 49, who knows which way it's going to go. But I do think with the final three, I do think that that third person, it's like, we'll say, is this person taking votes away from this person, Taryn? I do think it would add some intrigue to figuring out who that final three is going to be.
Yeah, one of those players is going to be the independents, and they're going to get blamed when the votes get split and somebody loses.
Yeah, no, we'll blame the millennials.
Hater of it all.
Yeah.
No, I think it does maybe speak to not wanting to go to the final three with someone who you worked with the entire game or who was a close ally of yours because of that very reason. You would think that those are the people you're most likely to share finale votes with.
Okay, so Alex, do you feel like that the house guests have reacted one way or another to the idea of the final three?
Not really. No. I mean, I think, you know, like we're thinking about it on such a cerebral level and there's a lot of people in there. There's very few people in there who are really like spending a lot of time trying to think about this game cerebrally.
Justin has talked about it a little bit, saying like, oh man, this kind of puts me in danger a bit faster than I think I would have been because it's true because people are going to have to be more scared of the more popular people because they can no longer wait as long as they thought they could. Because they don't want, you know, you don't want Justin winning that last competition or those last two competitions and squeaking his way into the final three where he probably just wins automatically. So you have to start targeting Justin even sooner.
Right. Especially when you have a popular player who has their own music video and song like Justin.
I'm about to eat some pizza. I'm about to eat some pizza, y'all. I'm about to eat some pizza. About to eat some pizza, y'all.
Yeah.
Pizza.
That could be the theme song for BBOTT.
Absolutely.
That's pizza, what you get all day. Pizza, pizza. It's just a taste.
About to eat us a pizza. Pizza, pizza, pizza. Yeah. I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, they need to get Justin kind of remaking all these themes. Get him on that.
Why not? All right. So let's talk through this week. Taryn, your boy, Paul was in the house for this week's HOH competition. Were you pumped up to see the return of Paul?
I was excited for it. It was definitely going to be something friendship. Yeah. It was going to be something new and different and exciting. And he came in and was just immediately like some idiot just left. And Danielle was like mid tears, which I thought was really great. I feel like he probably, you know, probably leaned a little too heavily on the catchphrases. But once he got into the hosting gig, I thought once he started hosting, I feel like he started doing really well. And he was like making fun of people as they tried to roll the ball and grab the balls and stuff. So I thought he did pretty well.
Okay.
Yeah. Very naturally funny. That's the thing about Paul. Once he like gets into a groove, like at one point people were trying to like, they couldn't do it, but people were trying to see if they could like, you know, give each other tokens and stuff. He's like, oh, fool over there trying to make a drug deal. What is this? Like,
yeah. Alex, did you get the sense that Paul had been keeping up with BBOTT?
Loosely. Well, I'll put it this way. More people, Paul had a better understanding for these people than a lot of these people did for Paul.
Oh.
Says a lot. Like Shelby at one point was like, who is he again? It's like, that's one of my favorite recurring themes this season is every guest that comes in, Shelby is clueless about who this person is.
Oh, I didn't watch your season.
Don't worry about it.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. So Chrissy got to be the HOH tyrant. Did Chrissy's life in the game get saved by this clutch HOH win?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Almost definitely, because I feel like there was a lot of momentum to nominate her this week, and she was the one person that could have won, that could have saved her, and it happened. It happened.
Okay, Alex, and you're on board with that as well. That Chrissy would have definitely gone home.
Oh yeah, it was looking really bad for her across the board in all these polls.
Yeah. All right. So she ends up saving her life. Does she realize that, Alex?
No, of course not. How could she possibly, Rob? She has not been, you know, her head is way out in space right now in terms of her perceptions on what's going on here.
Right.
And every week it just gets further. Because that's the thing. It's like in The Flash where he creates an alternate universe. Like as time goes, it just distances further and further from reality.
Exactly like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So Chrissy, in the episode when she was talking about where Scott got the care package, she was saying about like, America, what are you doing? Come on. Like she is the confidant of America.
Yeah. I mean, she has a reason for why America continues to vote against her like every single time it happens. And she's still just utterly convinced that America's in love with her. And why wouldn't they be, Rob?
Yeah, why not? All right, so let's just start to talk through the decision-making process for Chrissy. So, Alex, where's Chrissy's heads at?
Well, the first thing that had to be done was getting petty vengeance on Scott with the doubling down on, the sweaty armpit smearing on the pillow, which has just become a horribly disgusting recurring theme this season.
So talk this through for me. So she takes Scott's pillow and puts her armpits on it.
Oh yeah. Gets a nice rubbing on there, which it's just, I mean, yeah, it makes me gag watching it, to be honest. Like, I just don't think this has a place in the game.
And Big Brother doesn't shut that down. I mean, what's the difference between doing that and scrubbing the toilet with Hardy's toothbrush?
Yeah, that's a good question. Or like, you know, putting something gross in people's foods and making them sick. Like, I don't know where you draw the line, to be honest with you, Rob, but I do think something about biological warfare is bothersome.
Yeah.
It's not like she's baiting him to quit though. Like,
yes. Yeah. Look that up. Check that in the rule book. Taryn, is this a violation of the Geneva Convention?
Most definitely, Rob.
Yes. Yeah, they don't do this to people at Guantanamo, Rob.
Yeah, they don't put the armpits on the pillow. All right. So does Scott know this is going on, Alex?
No, I don't think Scott is like as in tune with Shelby smelled something weird, but Scott just kind of,
Okay.
I think he picks up things.
He doesn't care. And so is this all because of the blind side of Shane?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Rob, it was personal. And Shane was a real person and Scott just had no right. Shane deserved to be there. It doesn't matter if Scott says he's going to play video games with Shane afterwards. He was a real person.
Yeah. And you evicted him personally. So it wasn't strategic.
Okay.
No way.
All right. Personally. So I saw Scott's conversation that he had with Jason and with Chrissy and with Neely, and he didn't throw anybody under the bus from his side. And it seemed like that was an issue for those three misfits, Taryn.
Yeah. Scott just continues to be a very interesting player to watch because he's so radically honest about everything. And every time he says, I'm going to go and do this, people are like, there's no way he's going to do that. He must be lying. And then he goes and he does it. And he's like, Shane talks about in his exit interview, how he was like, I asked Scott if he would vote me out over Alex. And he said, yes. And I was like, oh, this is unbelievable. I can't believe he just said this to me. And it's just like, that's Scott. He just says things.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen a player, right, who was playing such an honest game, who was perceived so dishonestly before in the history of Big Brother, because even his allies who he like went out of his way to protect last week are thinking he's turning on them. He's doing everything possible and like tanking his own game. He had even had a private moment with the camera where he said, I screwed up other people's game in week one. So if I have to fall on the sword this week, I'm okay with it. He said that privately. And meanwhile, other people are just so sure, like Whitney's ready to turn on him. And like people, it's this kid can't buy a break.
Why, Alex?
I mean, I think a lot of it is, personality based. I think people see him going around trying to be nice with everyone. And, that's him trying to, create a social game. But people see it as him being, shifty and, two-faced. And I think, he developed this reputation week one, and your reputation is everything in the house. So people saw him doing a thing week one, and now he's perceived in a certain way. He can't kind of get out from under that perception. And so even though but it is fascinating because you've got Justin doing very much the same thing to a much greater degree. He's even like eavesdropping on people, and then he's played it off with like, no, baby, it's cool. And they're like, oh, okay, it's cool. I didn't realize. Like, well, it's amazing.
I mean, this is the thing we've been talking about more so in Survivor than in Big Brother. But I think that, you know, the social game is so huge. And then the ability to put people at ease really does carry you. And Scott obviously does not have that trait, where I think that there is a part about him that does come off as Jason would put it, squirrely.
Squirrely.
And it's the honesty. People don't like when people are 100% honest with them, right? Like you want some white lies here and there. You don't want to be told that he's going to vote you out. Like, that's not going to sit well with you.
Not great.
But it is always funny to see how, like, you know, some information will be taken in one game one way, and then in the exact same kind of information in the next season, say, will be taken an opposite way. Like, you could easily have Scott go up there, refuse to throw his allies under the bus. His allies are all obvious. I mean, just look at the dynamic for a second. And you know his allies are closer to each other than they are with him. And you could just think, oh, well, Scott's a loyal player. He's not willing to throw them under the bus. So if we pick them apart, we can use Scott. But no, they interpret it the opposite direction, which is that Scott wasn't willing to Judas them, and we wanted him to Judas them. So now, like, Scott sucks.
Okay. So is Scott officially Chrissy's target this week, Taryn?
Well, Alex ended up as the main target. She was going back and forth between Scott and Alex for a little while, but she ultimately settled on Alex. However, the care package came into the backyard, and the care package was for Alex. She was safe.
Yes, yes. And Taryn was happy.
And Chrissy's reaction face was great.
Yeah.
I was actually not happy. I actually didn't want Alex to get the care package. I wanted to see her fight her way out of this on her own. But I understand that, you know, people don't want to see Alex go home. I can completely sympathize with that. So, you know, I'm not upset that she didn't get it or that she got it, but I would have liked to see her fight for it.
Yeah. So, Aaron, you're just like toying with her life in the game. You're like Tim Dormer.
Yeah.
You're just like you know, you'll let her, you'll dangle her out there. And then if she goes home, she goes home.
Well, if she goes home, then maybe she's not the player I want her to be. So, you know.
Wow. Wow. Right. Boy. Gosh. Really playing with a very dangerous game, Biscuit.
I mean, you know, I'm glad she got it. You know, it's had an interesting impact on the house, and I think it's been interesting to watch that impact. So, I think either way, I think I would have won. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Alex is right. Chrissy's face when she got it was fantastic. Danielle immediately went to another room and was just like, oh no. And the catastrophe that has stricken the misfits has been amazing.
All right, Alex, can you explain what the power that Alex won in the care package is?
Sure. So the closest thing to this is that care package that Nicole won last season, that costume that also provided a power. This is the super safety suit. It's a maid outfit with a little bit of like construction style gear, kind of the way Nicole's had, that's supposed to represent the safety side of it. And so she's safe from eviction all week. The caveat being that Big Brother is coming over the overhead in like a, you know, Downton Abbey voice every now and again and telling her to go upstairs and do stuff for Chrissy.
Okay. And that's fine. And Taryn, does Alex realize that she really needed this care package?
Oh yeah. She's like, thank you so much, America. You just saved my life in this game. Thank you. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So we talked about Chrissy's face. Then what was her reaction after the initial shock, Alex?
Salt.
Salt.
Salt, 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 salt. Yeah.
America must want her to work with me. That's why they gave it to her.
And the tasks started immediately. Like, Big Brother didn't even give her time to go upstairs and process. They were just right away like, Alex, go upstairs and pay Chrissy a compliment. She was like, I don't want a compliment from that girl. I was like, and then immediately after she left with like, Chrissy, you're beautiful. Alex, go upstairs and bring Chrissy some fruit. I have apples right here. Like, she's just not having this.
Chrissy is way more upset about it than Alex.
Yeah, way more upset.
All right. So then what does Chrissy do? What's plan B, Taryn?
Well, I don't want to speak too much for Chrissy because I know she gets really upset when people talk to her. So I don't want to presume her plan or say anything, you know, off color. But basically she doesn't know quite yet, because there was a discussion that Jason and Neely had with her where Jason and Neely were talking about potential options, and she got really upset and she said, you know, ever since I won, I've just been listening and everyone else has been just talking, and you know, I have the power. Like, I'm making the decision.
Yeah.
Me.
And that's been like the rest of the afternoon. When we started this podcast, she was in a very lengthy argument with Neely about it, where she just could not let it go. After Neely continuously was just like, look, I'm sorry. Like you yelled at us. And I was like, "What? Why are you yelling at us? And now you're still mad at me, even though I've now apologized for being weird. It's atrocious.
Okay. So who does she put up on the block this weekend, Taryn?
She still hasn't decided, as far as I'm aware. You know, she's talked a lot about Morgan, Whitney, Shelby, or maybe Scott. I mean, it really could be any combination of those people. She's not particularly interested in getting rid of Scott. That was sort of one of the reasons why she was upset, because she feels like getting rid of Scott is good for Jason and Justin, but it's not necessarily good for her. And so she's trying to figure out, like, what's good for me and what should I do? Who should I put on the block? Ultimately, I don't think it'll matter, because I'm seeing a ton of momentum to get Neely up on the block as America's nominee.
Okay.
Yeah. And then also, one thing, maybe the only thing she has decided, is that unlike all these people who have like tried to be all sneaky this season, I'm just going to, like, all my allies are going to be safe on Saturday. Like, I'm just saving all my friends. Boom, 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 boom. And then they can sweat it out for Sunday. So she's at least going to have till Sunday to decide, because she's not going to try to game the safety ceremony at all.
Okay. So Alex, what you're saying is that you believe that whoever Chrissy nominates is going to be a moot point.
It seems very possible. Honestly, though, I think it's funny, but in a way, the best thing Neely could have done for her game is get into a fight with Chrissy today, because Chrissy is so, she's just veering so deeply into, you know, unlikable territory.
Well, what are they fighting over?
With her, Neely's being dragged down. They're fighting over just this idea that, you know, Chrissy is tired of having people like tell her what to do. She's feeling like she's being told what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, like, allies always have input in your, like, you can't get this game done on your, like, I don't know. It's just, it's a mess. And she keeps harping on the fact that, like, she said something about what Neely said. It wasn't about Neely's personal character, and that you're taking this the wrong way, and that you need to listen to me. And if you can't, if you're going to hold a grudge about this, that's ridiculous, but that's what you're going to do. Like, it's just,
okay.
Wow.
So, Alex, you say that there is a lot of populism out there for Neely to be America's nominee. But, Taryn, what have you been thinking in terms of where your meme maker is going to put his creative talents?
Well, I don't know. Alex brought up this idea of being like an agnostic, sort of going in blind to the vote. And I sort of like that idea. But I do think that, you know,
a little pie in the sky. No.
Yeah. The problem is, like, nobody else is going to do that. Yeah. Right? You've got these other people who are still, like, you have
listen, bro. John Lennon, that's not what we have you on this show for.
I can be the Greg Bowie of this podcast. And I don't care if I get voted out, I'll still look cool in the process. No.
That we're going to have that turn into a Brent meme maker in a minute.
Imagine all the people voting with their own hearts.
Yeah.
My hatred for Chrissy just, it's clouded my brain. I can't think of anything else. I cannot let her have a successful HOH reign. We have to nominate Neely.
We have to.
People have been telling me, like, Alex, you're so biased right now. And I'm like, we all are. That's what this season is. This is a season of bias. There's no way. I don't think there's a way not to be biased in a season where all the votes are really coming down to likability.
Yeah. All right. So everybody's on board with the put Neely up. Is there any other name being thrown around, Taryn?
You know, honestly, I haven't even seen the person that they've landed on, the opposition.
The opposition. The people who are, like, definitively pro-Misfit, I have seen, again, a lot of sentiment for Morgan. People really, really are hung up on this idea that, like, you know, like, Alex and Morgan are an unfair, you know, twist in the game.
Yeah. Now, Danielle is safe this week because she was America's nominee last week.
Correct.
Yes.
But if she was not safe, that having Shane out of the house, did that change things about her fundamentally, Alex? Or do you feel like that she would be right there in that conversation if she was eligible?
Oh, yeah. I think she would probably be in the conversation. I mean, she hasn't been as, you know, I haven't seen as many people complaining about her on the feeds now that she's not hooking up with Shane every night. But, I mean, there is still just kind of this idea of, you know, just a bit of an air of entitlement that she would do really well to drop. It's gotten better. And I think a large part of that, though, is just that Chrissy overshadows everything right now with that. But yeah, good to work on that.
Yeah, there's really not a lot of options at this point. I mean, we're only, 3 weeks into this. And so your options are basically, Danielle's off the board. Chrissy's the HOH. Here's Neely. And then after that, where are you going, Scott?
And, you know, the chat room is saying, like, a lot of people who don't want to see Neely on the block, it's because they really like the division in the house. Like Brent talks about, like, I love Big Brother 6. I love a house with two sides. I think, and I don't mean to speak for Taryn, but I think the difference in why people maybe don't see our perspective is that me and Taryn don't necessarily like a season with two sides. We like seeing a season that's where the fissure isn't so deep that people can actually try to maneuver and not just get busted as being a rat every time they do that.
Hmm. And it's not like Neely being on the block eliminates the sides. If anything, it almost deepens the gap. Like, you know, like there's still going to be two sides that are going after each other. I don't think that'll
like,
change.
Like you have Jason talking to the cameras earlier and he was saying like, I hate that I'm stuck in the middle right now. Cause I know there's like memes going around right now with my face on rats' bodies and stuff. I'm like, that sucks, man. Like that shouldn't be what's dictating your decision-making in the game. I think the best players are the people that don't burn bridges, that aren't like telling, you know, wiping their armpits on other people's pillows or doing this other stuff that like, makes it so no money would ever want to work with you again. So then you have these options moving forward. So you can, you know, kind of break the pyramid and reassemble the pieces in a different order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there anything to trying to thin out the plastic side or the ball crushers side of the house or ball smashers, right? Ball smashers.
Ball smashers.
Ball smashers.
I cut the clips before Taryn and I forgot to load them onto my computer that has the sound effects. But did you notice in the Wednesday recap that they started adding like sound effects to the Whitney saying ball smashers?
I didn't. There were a lot of issues with the stream, so I may have missed it for that reason. But
Alex, did you catch any of that?
No, I did not.
Oh, boy. Maybe I just have a finely tuned ear for it. But they've added, so after ball smashers, so when she says ball smashers, then you hear like a noise of like a guy go, ugh, and like the sound of like stepping on like a Christmas ornament. Like
I did not catch that.
I'll get the clip for next time.
I totally caught the jello in Scott's Tidy Whitey dance, but I did not catch that.
Maybe I'll put it on my Snapchat again, like I did the deep dive into what was going on during Scott's lap dance. Do a real thorough examination. All right.
But then the thing is, right? Like the thing about that side is I think a lot of people are thinking like you've got two strong sides. Like the ball smashers are already throwing Scott under the bus. Like that is not necessarily a solid side. Whitney is like, she'd be ready to work with other people. I think to me, the difference is that side is like open to switching it up. And you've got a couple people on the other side who prevent any kind of change.
Yeah. What about when America makes a nominee, if they win veto, does America rename a new nominee or does the HOH get to name a third nominee, Alex?
Neither. There's just two nominees.
Okay, got it. All right.
Simplify, man.
Yeah, we'll simplify it down to just two nominees. All right, so we'll get to our safety ceremony. We will get our nominees by the end of the weekend, and then we will get into the power of veto. So if we had to call it right now, are there enough votes to send Neely out if America puts her up, Taryn?
Yes, with America's vote, there would be enough votes to send her out. So if she goes up, she will need either herself or one of her allies to win that veto and pull her down. And then we'd see one of the ball smashers go.
Yeah. Alex, what about the people, Jason and Justin, we were talking about how they were talking about earlier in the week, potentially switching sides. How much of that is happening right now?
Not too much. I mean, they're still hoping to hedge their bets without really getting buried for it by their friends. But I think Taryn spoke to this somewhat last week, which is that when you have someone like Chrissy win the HOA, you know, like things were starting to come to a point where people might be working together again. And then you have someone like Chrissy win on the other side. And, you know, the HOH's agenda is going to drive the course of the week. Chrissy is very adamantly our side versus their side. So that recreates the division. It kind of like drives a wedge further down into that crack that was beginning to heal.
Okay. I want to start to get into the questions in just a moment. Hashtag RHAP. If you have any questions you want to get in. Taryn, anything else of note going on this weekend?
Well, I think part of the Neely campaign to get her on the block, there's been a video going around where, you know, it does like a hard cut from last week to this week where last week she was complaining because after Scott won the HOH, they went into another room and they were so happy, and that was just like so mean of them and so unsportsmanlike. And then it hard cuts to when Chrissy wins and she's like dancing and screaming. It's actually pretty funny.
Who put out this video, Taryn? WikiLeaks?
I saw it on Reddit. Reddit's pretty pro ball smashers.
Pretty pro ball smashers. All right. Alex, are the house guests doing anything interesting for Halloween?
They had a little Halloween party.
Yes.
But that's, you know, kind of over and done with now. So I don't know that they're really getting anything else. Well, they've got a have not room. That's festive.
Yeah.
That's another thing, though. Neely has this witch hat that Justin is very concerned about.
Why?
Because she looks like a real witch when she puts it on, apparently. And
Wait, there's real witches?
Him.
Hold on a second.
Well, Justin is from Cajun country, Rob. I mean, if anyone knows about the existence of voodoo, Justin, I mean, he's lived a life. I would believe him if he tells me it's real.
Wow.
It bothers him so much that he wants to steal the hat away so that she can't wear it anymore. He really doesn't like it.
He took it and hid it. And then I think he may have forgotten where he hid it. And now he's worried about that.
Wow.
He's like, uh-oh.
Okay. Then one other thing I wanted to talk about. Can't remember. Taryn, I saw on Twitter also you posted about Shane's exit interview. What did you think about his interview with Julie?
It felt like it was an hour long. The first half was just him railing against Scott for not deserving to be there and all that, you know, nonsense. And then the second half was just like, oh yeah, I'm in love with Danielle. You know, I don't care that I've only known her for 22 days. Like, we're in love and I'm going to wait for her. And
okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that was just them picking out their costumes. They're still going to have the Halloween party. That hasn't happened yet.
Oh, yeah. They had an
elaborate costume picking process.
They each have costumes that they chose or that were chosen for them. And they're going to wear them at the party.
Okay. When is the party?
I assume on Halloween.
Yeah. Why not? Although, is Halloween on a weekend this year? It's on a Monday. Maybe they want to like stagger it on a weekend so they can minimize the amount of crew.
Yeah. Maybe. PPM in the chat is asking about, talk about Justin hiding in the bathtub last night. Alex, I was reading about this as well. So what was going on here with Justin hiding in the bathroom?
Spy Shack, Rob.
Spy Shack.
Yes.
Yeah. The Spy Shack. I mean, yeah, he was like, listen, that was what I was talking about, where it's like Justin is able to kind of eavesdrop on conversations and then people know he's there, but he's able to just like play it off like, no, it's cool. I wasn't even doing nothing. Like, I'm just checking out like the thing. And the thing is, like, you know, Chrissy knew he was there. Chrissy had kind of like set him up there, but then like other people that he was supposed to be eavesdropping, I could tell he was there too.
He was hiding in the bathtub in the bathroom, and he wanted to do this so he could hear what the ball smashers were saying about him. And eventually the ball smashers downstairs realized that he was nowhere to be found, and he must be upstairs eavesdropping on our conversations. And so they sent Shelby up there, Whitney up there. And as Whitney was leaving after her entire conversation, she was just like, bye, Justin. And he was like, oh no.
Damn.
Abort the mission. Abort the mission. Yeah. Get out of there. Get out of there.
Tony never had these problems.
All right. And there was no blowback from that, Taryn?
Not really. I mean, it's Justin. So, you know, he's like, he's palling around. He's being Justin. So nobody was really that upset.
Yeah.
It reminds me, do you remember that Saturday Night Live sketch where like the one guy's like played by Bill Hader and he's like your office coworker and he does something and you're so creeped out by it. And then Tom Brady does the exact same thing. And it's like really charming and awesome. Like, that's what this reminds me of with the Scott and Justin dynamic.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. If Scott had done that, he would have been crucified.
Yeah. People would have they'd still be talking about it.
All right. Let's get into some of these questions. Hashtag RHAP. And why don't we start off with Edmo, who says, should they have just let Paul stay in the house? Friendship.
Well, if you're asking me, I mean, yeah, I thought he was a breath of fresh air on Feeds. I think it'd be funny if he's just there as like an entity that can't do anything but talk smack.
Yeah, so Alex, did they get the answer to how BB-18 turned out? I know we were talking about it at the top of the show, but was that for real?
So funny story. Yes, that is for real, but not by like any conventional sense. It's not like Paul came in and they asked him and he told them. He played it off and we were like, oh, I guess they don't get to know. But then later we found out that Chrissy found out somehow that Nicole had won. And then Jason was like, oh, yeah, I wasn't supposed to know, but someone in production totally told me before I came in. So Jason's known the entire time.
Oh.
Oh.
Piss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scandal.
Yeah.
Scandalicious.
Very.
Nobody even had like a good reaction to it. They were, Chrissy was just like, oh, I know who won. And they were like, Nicole. And she was like, yeah. And they were like, oh, yeah.
There you go. Yeah,
that was America's reaction.
Stephen H. says, which of these players would have the best chance at winning a normal BB season and who would have the worst? Biscuit, I know you're going to say
backlash.
Alex, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Based on what we've seen, I think she's probably the best traditional player of the game.
So Alex,
me and Taryn have talked about this question at length, and I have no idea how to really evaluate. It's very hard.
So who would you say?
Probably Alex.
Okay.
But it's tough. It's really hard.
Yeah. Okay. Who would be the worst in the traditional BB sense?
Probably Danielle. I mean,
geez. Yeah, probably the person who would have gone home two or three times, right, if this had been normal Big Brother.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about LaToya W. House guests are waiting for have not results to proceed with strategy. How will it influence the gameplay? Taryn, have you thought about this at all?
I have thought about it a little bit. Yeah. I think that this could be the final straw that breaks the camel's back here, where if there are two or three people from the Misfits who are have nots, they may finally realize, okay, maybe the tide has turned on us here. Maybe we need to start jumping ship or doubling down or something. They're going to need to start reevaluating how they behave in the house and what their strategy is moving forward.
But what can you do once you're armed with the information? Oh, America isn't liking us, Alex.
You could spin it, Rob. You can play mental gymnastics. That's what you can do. Like right now,
yeah, and that's unfortunate.
Right now, that's what's going on. I mean, you've got Danielle upstairs, like, realize, I mean, she, give her credit, she realized what's going on with the safety servant. She's like, I'm not gonna lie, Chrissy, this is kind of funny. That was pretty great, where it's like Danielle's supposed to be the one person that Chrissy is able to vent to, and she's like, I get why America did this. This is kind of funny. But she, you know, she's also been the one who, you know, and Chrissy probably especially, you know, Chrissy won the first care package, America loves me. Scott wins the second care package, it's because they hate Scott. What? How do you reconcile these things? You just do. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a question from John Densford. If you're pro Alex, pro plastics, or anti Chrissy, vote Neely for America's nominee. Taryn, are you subscribing to this logic? Pro Alex, pro plastics, or anti Chrissy? Everybody, all these people can unite under the vote Neely tent.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really the only choice for all of those people.
What about Team Good Feeds, Alex?
I mean, Chrissy will go ballistic.
I don't know if I feel qualified to speak on that, because I know there's people who say I'm Team Good Feeds and I don't agree with what Alex is saying, but right. I still agree with Taryn.
Is Neely good on the feeds?
Team Good Feeds.
I don't think Neely is especially great on the feed. I think she's a really sweet person, but she's certainly, if what you're looking for in feeds is explosive characters, dynamic personalities, Neely is not one that jumps out to me the way some of these other people have, like, just gone on these huge emotional roller coasters. She's had a couple just random blow ups, but
yeah.
The reality is Team Good Feeds is whatever coincides with the team that you're on, either Plastic or Misfits. Like, the Misfits fans think that Good Feeds would be if the Plastics went home this week, and the Ball Smashers fans would think it would be great if one of the Misfits went home.
Yeah, at this point, it's a lot of opinion being thrown around as fact. And that's what I'm trying to get away from. It's like, this is an opinion matter.
Have we had a season where the fan base is as evenly divided as it appears to be this season, Alex?
Yeah, I don't think so, right? Because first of all, this is a very divided season in terms of the house split. But unlike a Big Brother 6, you know, where everyone universally was like, this friendship is detestable, it's very interesting to me how people are so pro one side and then other people are so pro the other side. And yeah, I think probably. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it. And I think a lot of it speaks to that America has a vested interest in the vote. Some people, you know, pick their favorites early on and have been like trying to push them ahead. So they have a vested interest in seeing those people succeed, and they want to kind of maintain that, I guess.
Okay. Let's do from Ryan, reaching back at the history. But whose accent is better, Whitney or Dara from Survivor Pearl Islands? Alex, do you have a call on this?
Well, Whitney's not a mortician.
Yeah.
Morticians are pretty, that's a pretty interesting profession for a young woman to have. But I like Whitney. I mean, she's not super charismatic, but maybe it's just because I've watched so many more hours of Whitney than Dara. You know, most of Dara gets left on the cutting room floor, unless you're Brian Gumbel.
Leaves you wanting more.
Ball smashers.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Let's give it to Dara just for being classic.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Patrick says, question for Taryn. Does Alex cut Morgan before the final three? Is that even a possibility, Biscuit, that we could think about?
I do think it's a possibility. I said going into the season, I don't think the sisters would ever turn on each other. I think Alex would turn on Morgan if she felt like it benefited her. 100%.
Alex, you buying this or fan fiction?
Yeah. I was the one that preseason said there was a chance for this. So, of course, I'm on board. Yeah, I was the one person who was like, no, this actually could happen. I know what you're saying. I hear you. They're family. But Alex would never forgive herself if Morgan beat her in this game. She's the fan. Morgan could not care less. This is what's going through Alex's head, like, all the time that she's working with Morgan. Like,
yeah, I think she could say, well, look, we were going to split the fan vote. I had to get rid of you. And I think she goes to say, it was only BBOTT. It wasn't even like I did it in Real Big Brother. It's just OTT.
I genuinely think that could be reasoning for it. Like, I think she sees people like Shelby, Chrissy, even maybe Scott to some extent. If there are other options available to her and she's looking at them or Morgan, I think she's probably going to choose them if she feels like it's an easy win.
Yeah, why would you take a somewhat any degree of a carbon copy of yourself to the finale for an America's Vote? It makes no sense.
Alex Kidwell, if Alex from BBOTT votes out her sister at any point this season, is it a stone cold lock that we will see BBOTT Alex on a traditional season of Big Brother in the next 2 years?
I'd like to hope so. If Sierra Easton can get the kind of push that she's gotten from voting out her mom, certainly Alex deserves some kind
Now, this is how you play the game of Big Brother OTT.
Julie Chen needs to come on and say that. Now, this is how you play the game.
Morgan, can you believe it? Voted out by your own sister. That's gotta sting.
Oh, that's yes. Perfect.
Yeah. It'll be intense. All right.
Intense.
Antisocial says, can we please start a GoFundMe to get Alex Kidwell a frame for his poster?
Which one?
Which one? I did like the thread in the patron Facebook group the other day about what poster to put up behind Jordan Parhar.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know people wanted to get Alex Kidwell frames for his posters.
Hey, well, if you guys want to, send frames my way, I'm certainly willing to accept them.
All right. If you post the sizes online, maybe somebody will buy you.
I don't think we need a P.O. box for this podcast.
Yeah.
I'll find one on Amazon and add it to my wish list.
The person that it bothers the most can send you a frame.
Yeah,
okay.
I agree.
Brad asked TV, did Dani notice all of her friends tried to vote her out? I thought that she would try to befriend the ball smashers after, we had this big plan during the week of, let's vote out Shane. And then everybody from that side of the house will vote off Danielle and then she'll be pissed. Alex, did that bear any fruit?
Nope. No, that was always going to be a pipe dream, I think. You could tell from any conversation Danielle had where they weren't privy to that Danielle believes there's nothing she can possibly do to make those girls like or appreciate her. And if you believe that, you're right. You know what I mean? That's reality. If you are that confident that there's nothing you can do to repair those relationships, then there's not going to be anything you can do to repair those relationships, because the only thing that really matters is mentality.
Yeah. Taryn, I got a hot take for you.
Okay.
The worst thing in the world the ball smashers could do is get Chrissy out of the house.
Sure. I agree with that. I think that Chrissy,
that should be your platform.
Down.
You need to keep Chrissy in the house the whole winter.
I don't have the intestinal fortitude.
Because
for
once she is gone, then that's when they're going to say, you know what? Think that these ball smashers are getting a little high on the hog, because I think that they're overvalued right now. Even if they say, okay, Alex is good. I mean, how good is Whitney? Is she anything?
She's not charismatic enough to, like climb to the top of the Joker's charts. No.
Shelby is fine. What's Morgan doing? I think overall, I think that they are overvalued right now, and they're only being propped up by how much everybody dislikes Chrissy.
Yeah, and to be fair, I think, Alex did mention, to Morgan, try to get to the end with Chrissy. She realizes that Chrissy is probably, even though Chrissy thinks that she's loved by America, Alex realizes that she's probably not. And I don't think Alex will want to target Chrissy unless she has no other choice.
Yes, but I believe the voters have no chill and they will.
Have no chill.
Yeah, they will take Chrissy out the first chance they get. But I do believe that it will be the beginning of the end for that side of the house once Chrissy is gone.
Do you know what somebody just tweeted at us?
What?
Do you know what Chrissy just said to Neely?
What?
Is that what you were reacting to a minute ago?
Chrissy says to Neely, "You got to trust your quarterback, who I catch eyes with and throw the ball to. Trust I'm doing this for everyone." So Chrissy's the quarterback of the Misfits.
Chrissy's the president.
You need to trust in her judgment.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll see. See, a couple more questions. I only believe in the BB president. Mark John says, what would Pauline Calafiore, I'm not sure if that's a typo or an article correct. It says, what would Pauline Calafiore, I'm not sure if that's shade or a typo. What would Pauline Calafiore and his brother Cody have to say about BBOTT? Boy, have the Calafiores commented on BBOTT, Alec?
Not that I have seen, because I feel like to acknowledge its existence would be to in any way like minimize the Calafiore legacy, right?
Yeah.
To some degree. That like implies that Paulie's not still the new hotness. And of course, Paulie is still the new hotness.
Yeah. Taryn, do you believe that Calafiores are anti-OTT?
Well, they must be. At least Paulie must be. He's got his own stuff going on. He's got a business. He's got, he's got meet and greets. He's got dancing, singing. He's got everything going on. And he doesn't need to concern himself with the lowly BBOTT. It's beyond his purview.
Okay.
Couldn't they at least wait until me and Zakiya's photo shoot album came out?
Yeah.
The least of courtesies.
I'm not sure.
I do want to play a game, though. Shade or typo. I like that game.
Shade or typo. All right. We'll see if that comes up more this season. I think that's the hashtag tonight. All right. Let's do a couple more questions. This is from Edmo. Is canceling 3 votes next week too powerful? Should they be allowed to cancel America's vote? So, Alex, that's the care package next week?
Canceled. It's the Kathy Griffin last laugh reemerging for one more laugh, bro.
I mean, but canceling 3 votes is a lot of votes here. I feel like that James is only allowed to cancel, 2 votes at the vote where who went home on that night? Was that the, not Bridget, which vote was that?
It was the Zakiya vote.
The Zakiya vote. Yeah. So,
Yvonne got this in Big Brother 17 where she could cancel 3, but it was like when there's still 15 people in the house.
Right.
This is a little more powerful. Yeah.
Pretty powerful.
It controls the vote 100%.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Taryn, have you got the meme maker working on this already?
No, I don't know who needs it.
Too soon. Chrissy.
Yeah. No, Chrissy's ineligible. She already won one.
You guys wasted it.
Also, Rob, team good feeds comes secondary to team my own personal mental sanity.
Whatever side of the house is looking for to tap into my spin room and PR firm and advanced strategic mastermind plans that feel free to reach out.
Next level analytics. You need to redistrict. That's what you need to do to make this work out.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Always OTB. Honestly, didn't expect to see the Misfits in such disarray with a misfit as HOH. What happened, Alex?
Chrissy had.
It's Chrissy. And I think a lot of it really started when Alex got this care package. Like, she was talking a lot and she was hard to listen to on the feeds, but she wasn't like coming at her allies or like, she wasn't so short tempered until this morning. I feel like as she found out, her target is going to be entirely safe and there's nothing she can do about it, even though she's supposed to have the power this week. I think that's really, really eating at her. And so as a result, she's got a short fuse today. And so she's lashed out a little bit.
She needs to stay. That's what this podcast has convinced me of, that she needs to stay. It'll be a uniting force in the house. It'll be team good feeds, team good TV. And I think that Hurricane Chrissy needs to stay, Taryn.
You know what, Rob? I think it's easy for you to say that because you're not a live feed correspondent.
That's right. That's right.
You need to watch her all the time. Him.
Look, I see 10 minutes a day. Okay.
Don't listen to Rob.
Kelly Lynch. Is Chrissy making deals with the other side? I don't put you up. You save me if you're HOH. Is she working on some deals, Taryn?
Not really. Not so far. I mean, she had conversations with Morgan and Whitney, and she was like, you know, you guys are going to be safe. But that was before the Alex thing. And just generally, she's not done well. She's basically insulted everybody that's come up and talked to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not about deal making. It's really like calling people up, telling them like what they need to hear and then sending them on their way.
Look, don't forget, I was the person that wanted to see Jose in the house this season. I live for the train wreck Big Brother player.
Dude, he would probably be doing well right now. I gotta say, I think he would actually do pretty well in this season.
It does take another level of HOH-itis to not only be so in your head about being HOH that you alienate your enemies, but that you alienate your allies for being too powerful. Like she's devoured so much power and status, and America loves her that she feels like she can boss around her allies too. And she's angry that they don't just fall in line.
Okay. Let's do one more question from Patrick. It says, by referring to Scott as the Virgin King, what game qualities are they trying to highlight for him that he can't close the deal?
Later, they were joined by their Virgin King.
Yes. So
they're highlighting qualities, but they're not game qualities.
Yeah. So
he won head of household, one game quality. He's a virgin, one non-game quality.
Yeah. So good for the Virgin King to hang in there. Are you guys pro Scott? I feel like you're sort of like ambivalent.
I like Scott better than a lot of people because A, he's trying, he's really trying and trying to think, always thinking about the game, always trying to figure out what his best move is. And B, he's not burning bridges, which I think a lot of people who are really caught up in the drama this season are like, yes, dragger, you know, and enjoy that. But to me, that's just all that represents is bad gameplay. What's the point in burning a bridge that you might need to cross later? So I like that Scott is like, even if Chrissy's yelling at him and telling him he sucks, he's like, well, just know that I like you as a person. Like, I like seeing people who are willing to do that because it's harder than telling someone what you really think of them. It's always harder.
I think Scott's like a sweet guy, and I think that he'd be somebody that I could get along with outside of the game, but he has awful game instincts. Like,
way too honest.
Really terrible.
His bad judgment.
Yeah.
So, Alex, what is the area of BBOTT that you and Taryn have the biggest disagreement on?
That's a good question.
Taryn, you could jump in too. This would be like Newlywed Game. You write down your answer.
Probably that I'm willing to vote and Taryn isn't.
You're willing to vote.
Yeah.
What? Biscuit, you're willing to direct people to vote, but you're not willing to cast the votes yourself?
Yeah. They call me the puppet master, Rob. I've got my manipulations everywhere. I'm controlling every vote, as people have told me.
Yeah. And there are no strings on me.
No strings. Not a puppet. But Taryn, that you have to exercise your right to vote. That a lot of people gave up, made a lot of sacrifices so that you could vote for BBOTT. And I think that you are like, there's a lot of Canadians that are out there that wish they could be voting for things. And you're sitting there and you're able to vote and you're just like, well, you're wasting your privilege.
That's right. Super fans going to bed every night, desperate for control in Canada, Taryn.
If somebody from Canada wants me to be their vote surrogate, let me know and I will vote for
you. Oh, you should do it for other people.
Three times a week, you should have some kind of like random poll or competition where like if someone gets the answer, they get your 20 votes for the week.
That'd be fun.
So you would do that? You would just give your votes away? What if they were against what you wanted?
I was thinking about doing that too, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think people overestimate how invested I am with the voting outcome.
Okay. I agree.
All right. So you will raffle off your votes.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Okay.
It does sound like fun.
All right. Fun stuff. What did I say was going to be the hashtag shade or typo?
Shade or typo.
That's the new game. Okay.
That's the new voicemail game, I think.
Yeah. All right. So this is what I want. This is what I want for the rest of this weekend. Okay. You can send me either Big Brother names, statements, hashtag shade or typo. And then I'll have to decide if you are sending me something that is that you're throwing shade at a Big Brother house guest or it's a typo. And I'll have to decide. Okay. You could, and you could include Biscuit and Alex Kidwell also on your tweets. That's at Armstrong Taren and at Alex Kidwell on Twitter. All right, guys. So our next live BBOTT show with me is going to be coming up on Tuesday night. It will not be streaming, but we will have the audio and video up for you guys as soon as possible when we are live at the Broadway Comedy Club this Tuesday night. And of course, Big Brother Happy Hour, unless Jordan is traveling. Is that still on set for Sunday?
Yeah, I don't think he leaves till Monday.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. All right. So look for that over the weekend. And of course, thanks to Scott St. Pierre, of course, behind the scenes. Got some fun Survivor podcasts up for you guys from Thursday between the Know-It-Alls, the exit interview. Talk to Kimmy Kappenberg also for the Recappenberg of this week. And then also had Ali Lasher on the voicemail. So lots of fun stuff to check out. And of course, we will do our podcast, Big Brother and Survivor, live in New York next week. So fun stuff coming up. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. And of course, if you still want to come out Tuesday night, robinswebsite.com/BBOTT live. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.